And you know, when you sing a hymn after hearing the story of how it came to be, that hymn just has more power to it, more understanding to it. And so today, as our last hymn in this series, How Great Thou Art. The country is Sweden. The year is 1885. Pastor Carl Boberg and some friends were returning home from an afternoon church service in a nearby town. And as they walked along, thunderclouds began to gather and the wind began to blow inland from the sea. They picked up their pace, hoping to reach their homes before the storm broke out. But within a few minutes, a blinding streak of lightning flashed across the sky, followed quickly by a deafening clap of thunder. Have you ever heard a clap of thunder so loud that it knocked you to your knees? You know, just scared you to death. You know, I've had that happen before. Kayla and I and Kayla's dad, Ray, were standing outside of her farm there in Elgin, and this bolt of lightning, and then this sudden, and I went down to my knees, and Kayla and Ray are going, "What's wrong with you?" So anyway, they experienced that deafening clap of thunder that echoed up and down the coastal foothills. Strong winds, smelling of rain, swept over the meadows as they ran for shelter as the summer rainstorm swept over them. Later, Pastor Boberg wrote of that day. He said it was a time of year when everything seemed to be in its richest coloring. The birds were singing, it was a warm day. A thunderstorm appeared on the horizon, thunder and lightning. We had to hurry to shelter. But the storm was soon over and the clear sky appeared again. And when I came home, I opened my window toward the sea and heard the church bells ringing. That evening, I wrote a song, O Mighty God. It wasn't long before someone noticed that words of the poem matched the tune of an old Swedish folk song, the tune we still sing today. By 1890, this hymn was being sung throughout southern Sweden. Now, according to his nephew, Pastor Boberg's poem, which had become the basis of our hymn today, was a paraphrase of Psalm chapter 8. And was first sung in the late 1800s by believers in Sweden's underground churches who were enduring persecution because they did not believe and practice infant baptism. In 1890, Boberg became the editor of a small weekly newspaper called Witness for the Truth. And in April of 1891, the hymn appeared in print for the first time. A copy of the song was taken to Germany, where in 1907, it was translated into German with the title, How Great You Are, and quickly spread through the German-speaking countries of Northern and Eastern Europe. In 1912, Ivan S. Prokhorov, who had been called the Martin Luther of Russia, translated the song into the Russian language, giving the title, Great God. Because he was an important figure among Protestant churches in Russia, his involvement assured it spread throughout Russia. The song was a great favorite, and by 1925, it had traveled all the way to India. Meanwhile, in West London, England, Stuart Wesley Hine was born in 1899 to devout Christian parents. Stuart loved God from his earliest days and was baptized a few months before his 15th birthday. He chose to dedicate his life to God as a missionary, but had to postpone his desire at age 18 when he was called into military service in France during World War I. Those were terrifying days, as you can imagine, but Stuart's faith remained strong. The prayers of his family and friends were answered when he returned home unharmed in December of 1919. In 1923, he married Mercy Salmon, and within a month of the wedding, they set out to serve as missionaries to the Russian-speaking peasants of Poland and the Ukraine, a task which would last more than 16 years. During those first few years in Poland, they fell in love with the beautiful Russian song called Great God and began using a shortened version of the hymn in their evangelistic meetings. In June of 1931, Stuart and Mercy set off on a 300-mile mission by bicycle to the people of Ukraine in the Carpathian Mountains. And little did they know what God had planned for their journey. As they rode through the lovely trees and meadows and reveled in the viewpoints of the summits of each hill and mountain along the way, the memories of those viewpoints would one day take form in a now familiar verse, when through the woods and forest glades I wander and hear the birds sing sweetly in the trees. When I look down from lofty mountain grandeur and hear the brook and feel the gentle breeze. When they neared a new village, Stuart typically asked the first person they came to if there were any Christians living in the town. At one village, they were told that the only Christians there were named Dmitri and his wife, Ludmila. Dmitri's wife knew how to read, evidently a fairly rare thing at the time. She had taught herself to read after finding a Bible that was left behind by a Russian soldier several years before. When they approached Dmitri's house, they heard a wonderful sound coming through the open windows. Dmitri's wife was reading the Gospel of John about the crucifixion of Christ to a house full of guests. And those visitors were in the very act of repenting. Now, in the Ukraine, the act of repenting is done very much out loud. And so the Hinds could easily hear people calling out to God, expressing their wonder and their awe at his love and mercy toward them. Rather than disrupt this obvious work of the Holy Spirit in their lives, they stayed outside praying and listening. Stuart wrote down some of the phrases he heard of the repentant villagers used. Mighty God, you sent your son to die for me? It is more than I can understand. Those words became the inspiration for words of another verse of the song. And when I think, God, his son not sparing, sent him to die, I scarce can take it in. That on that cross, my burden gladly bearing, he bled and died to take away my sin. To escape the famine created by the Russian dictator Joseph Stalin during the winter of 1932 and 1933, Stuart and Mercy left Ukraine to return to Poland. 6 years later, they had to return to England just before Germany invaded Poland in 1939 at the beginning of World War II. They settled in southern England to continue their evangelistic ministry among refugees that fled Eastern Europe to escape the Nazis. One refugee told them this story. He had been separated from his wife at the very end of the war and had not seen her since. At the time they were separated, his wife was a Christian and he was not. But he had since been converted to Christ, and his deep desire was to find his wife so they could share at last their faith together. But he told Stuart and Mercy he did not think he was ever going to see his wife again. Instead, he was longing for the day when they would meet in heaven, where they could share an eternal life there. These words again inspired Stuart, and these words became the basis of his fourth and final verse. When Christ shall come with shout of acclamation to take me home, what joy shall fill my heart. By 1949, Stuart had completed the lyrics of all four verses as we know them today. He published the song and its melody under the title, How Great Thou Art, in a pamphlet that was widely distributed throughout England. In 1954, at Billy Graham's London Crusade, someone gave noted singer George Beverly Shea a copy of the leaflet. How many of you have heard George Beverly Shea sing? Yes. What a wonderful voice he had. Shea was impressed by the powerful words, and a few years later at New York Crusade in 1957, he sang that song 99 times. How Great Thou Art became Shea's signature song and sang it wherever he went. In the 1970s, its fame skyrocketed until it became the most famous hymn in every Christian hymnal and was being sung by numerous congregations, choirs, and soloists every week. Today, it's still a favorite hymn and is the number one hymn in most languages. This song has been recorded by many groups and singers, including George Beverly Shea, Loretta Lynn, Pat Boone, Burl Ives, Josh Turner, Pentatonix, Stephen Curtis Chapman, Laura Daigle, Susan Boyle, and the King, Elvis Presley. Everyone who had part in composing this great hymn of faith held tightly to a shining hope. When asked how he envisioned our first moments in God's presence in heaven, Stuart Hine just smiled, and he said, "When we reach that heavenly home, we will fully understand the greatness of God and will bow in humble adoration, saying to him, 'O Lord my God, how great thou art.'" Out of the many hymns that Kayla and I could have chosen for this last in this series, we chose "How Great Thou Art" because it captures the essence of our hope in Christ during good times and bad. Knowing now that this hymn has upheld Christians over hundreds of years under very difficult times and persecutions, the song makes me think of Peter's words of hope and steadfast faith. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 6. "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us a new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade, kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials." God has upheld us and brothers and sisters of faith for many, many years through this song. A powerful, powerful song of faith. We are blessed to enjoy the creative spiritual work of poem and songwriters that blessed our hearts this month as we looked through various hymns of faith that have upheld many for centuries. God is at work, and he's at work through songs. You may have a poem, you may have a song you're thinking of, maybe you've written it down, and you don't know, just like the other authors before us wrote a piece of writing down, a poem or a song on a piece of paper. And God used it through the centuries to become a powerful song of faith and hope, endurance, perseverance. And so we close this series with these thoughts. God is at work in you to continue to change you to be more like Christ in his character. And God is at work through you. Do not discount that whatever you do, oh, it's nothing. It won't make a difference anywhere. Oh, Satan would love for you to believe that. Don't you dare. God is at work. And these songs have upheld people who have gone through things that we have yet can only imagine. And here we are today to say, Jesus, you are my King. I stand for you, and I stand for you alone. No man, woman, or government can make me change my view. I know who my Jesus is. Amen? Amen. I stand on him, and these songs help me to stand. They help us to gather together and sing. You know, when you have a song that everybody knows by heart, you can watch each other as you sing it. And what a beautiful thing to see people smiling or crying or rejoicing as they sing a powerful, powerful song. And so today I'm going to ask you to stand and kind of just turn towards each other and look at each other as we sing a very familiar hymn. How great you are, our mighty God. And I pray today that as you sing that song, that you just open your heart to the Holy Spirit to fill you with a great endurance, a great encouragement, and say, I too will stand on Jesus and Him alone. Amen? Let's stand together as we sing.